folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop, and I happen to be in the Handgun World Mobile Studio again, driving down the freeway talking to you about guns. This is a practical show done by a practical guy like me. I'm just a Yankee with a gun, born in New York City, raised up in Wisconsin most of my young life. Of course, now I live in the great gun-friendly state of Texas, San Antonio to be exact. With all that said, brief little intro about me for some new listeners. This week, I had a chance to interview Gary Slider, and we talked a little bit about national reciprocity or the possibility of it. Gary Slider is one of the co-owners of handgunlaw.us, an amazing resource for concealed carriers, especially if you're going to do some traveling. Handgunlaw.us. He used to be affiliated with a website called packing.org, which I used to look at a lot. Now he's with handgunlaw.us, and I'll tell you what, if you want to find out about concealed carry laws in your state, or if you're going to another state and find out, do they accept my license or do they not? Gary is extremely good at keeping up to date. We're going to talk about that in the upcoming interview, and I think you're really going to enjoy some of the points in here. But what about national reciprocity? What are your thoughts on national reciprocity? Do you want it? You know, I mean, that might sound like a silly question. You might think, well, yeah, Bob, of course, we carry guns. We want national reciprocity. How do you want it to come about? Or do you care? So think about that. And what is it that we can do to make national reciprocity happen? I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that our driver's license is accepted in all 50 states, but our concealed handgun licenses are not. I mean, what's up with that? Whether you believe that driving is a right or a privilege, it doesn't matter which one it is. Your license is good in any of the 50 states. And there are traffic laws that are different from state to state, just like there are firearms laws that are different from state to state. So what's the deal here? You know what the deal is? The government controls our Second Amendment right because they can. Because they can. Because we have allowed it. You know, we don't allow them to try to invalidate our driver's licenses in another state. Can you imagine what would happen if a state decided to do that? Invalidate your driver's license from another state? What do you think that would cause? What kind of uproar do you think that would cause among the citizens? But carrying a gun is not as widely accepted. Why not? It should be. The reason it's not, I really believe, is because the people of this country do not demand carrying a gun to be widely accepted like that. We do not demand it. If we demand it, if we got loud about it, if we got persistent about it, if we voted that way, if we made an absolute pest of ourselves to our governments, if we support organizations like the Second Amendment Foundation, the NRA, Gun Owners of America, it'll eventually happen. But I think it's our fault. It's our fault because of who we vote for, because of who we sent to office, and it's, of course, their fault because of the way that these politicians conduct themselves once we send them to either the nation's capital or your state capital. But we have the ability to fire them, and unfortunately, too many times, we don't do that. All right, I'll get off of that tangent there, but here comes the interview with Gary Slider of handgunlaw.us.
It was one of the worst mass murders committed by a single person. It happened down south. A lunatic killed 27 people, including his own mother, in a single pass. The killer used a six-shot revolver and a knife. Mass murderers find whatever tools they need, and those tools don't need to be sporting rifles or high-capacity clips. A slow, reloading revolver is all this fellow needed. Banning clips will not prevent a madman's massacre. But that doesn't matter to the gun control industry, who thinks inanimate objects are evil, but ignore the deranged people who misuse them. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, I have Gary Slider from handgunlaw.us back with me for about the third time, I think. Welcome back, Gary.
Thank you for having me, Bob. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, well, I heard you on a couple other podcasts recently, and I said, hey, I know that guy. I've had him on a couple times.
Yeah, I enjoy talking about this. It's just something I just enjoy doing.
Well, you enjoy it so much that you've got this fabulous website, handgunlaw.us. I've used it countless times, I know, and I've told a lot of listeners about it as well. For those of you people who are brand new listening to my show, tell them a little bit about handgunlaw.us and why they should use it.
Well, when you go to handgunlaw.us, the first thing you need to do is read the paragraphs to the right of the main page map. That tells you all about the site. If it was me coming back to this new site, I'd go to the frequently asked questions and see all them, because it answers a lot of questions for you about how the site works and what's there. But clicking on any of the states, on the initials of the states in that map, opens up a page for that state. And it lists all the information a person needs about that state. I went to this, the format, each state's laid out the same. Each state page is laid out almost exactly the same. There was a few little differences, but not very many.
Right.
But it was, I've been carrying a firearm for 30 plus years, and this is the information I would like to have if I travel. And that's what I put on the site.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the guy that does all the research, Steve Akins, who actually lives in New Mexico. He's the guy who designed the site and keeps it online. He's the computer guy. And him and I were together. I was the driving force behind Packing.org before it was even Packing.org. There was a man named Mike Golly, 20 years ago, had a one-page. He was in Hawaii at the time and had a one-page thing listing gun laws, and I got in with him, and that morphed into Packing.org. Then things kind of went downhill. We didn't have too much control.
Yeah.
So Steve contacted me. It took me about 6 months to tell him yes, and Handgun Law, we're working on our 10th year now.
That's amazing that you've been doing it that long. I remember Packing.org, but, the things you've got on handgunlaw.us are even better.
Well, the nice thing about it is things are a lot easier to find now.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it a whole lot simpler, because the states are putting out a lot of information. And that's one thing that 9/11 did for us. The government's agencies, the state governments and the federal government started putting a lot of stuff online because of 9/11, and also because of the anthrax. They didn't want mail anymore. They didn't want anything from the U.S. Postal Service anymore because of the anthrax scare. That's when they started really putting stuff online, because they didn't want the letters. And that's why most government officials now, they want email. They do not want letters. They want emails. Emails today are what letters were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's actually made it a lot easier, although it's got a lot more complicated. Wow, the way they write laws.
Yeah.
You have to be a lawyer to understand them, and even they don't understand them.
You know, and speaking of that, that's one of the first questions I want to ask. Yeah, I want to ask you. You know, you said you've been kind of busy lately because July 1st, a lot of laws changed. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, a lot of things changed July 1st. I'd actually, there were so many changes, I'd about have to go look, because holy mackerel! Let me go see here. I'd have to look here and see that. Laws changed in Idaho. They rewrote their whole concealed carry at all section. They really didn't change anything. They just worded it and made it better and easier to understand.
Yeah.
It also made the permitless carry in Idaho easier to understand, because if you're outside the confines of an incorporated area, and you can carry concealed in the state of Idaho with no permit.
Oh.
And that debate, the way they worded it made it really easier to understand.
Did you say Iowa?
Kansas went permitless carry.
Yeah.
No. Louisiana is allowing their hunters now to carry, and this is another wording in their law. They now allow their hunters, bow hunters, to carry any caliber of handgun they wish.
Nice.
They can carry a .22 pistol, but it doesn't even say permit holders. So it looks like you can carry a handgun when you're bow hunting without a permit.
And did you say that Iowa went permitless carry?
Yeah. Who?
Iowa, did you say?
No. Idaho.
Oh, Idaho. Idaho.
It's limited. It's outside the confines of any incorporated area.
Okay.
You can carry concealed. Now, Kansas went totally permitless carry.
Yep.
And then Mississippi changed some things. They got limited permitless carry. As long as it's in an enclosed purse or briefcase, or a closed container, you can carry that firearm on you without a permit now in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And you can also carry anybody who can legally own a firearm can carry one in a vehicle. And so, a fanny pack would be a closed container. It just can't be on a holster on your body. Your clothes can't cover it. What I mean is you can't hide the gun just under your clothes. It has to be in some kind of a container, like a briefcase or a purse.
Right.
Or a fanny pack or something like that, and you're fine.
Unless you have a concealed carry license from that state.
And now if you got one, Mississippi honors all other state permits too. So then you can carry it, just like you carry in your home state. You can carry it in your holster on your body, your shoulder holster, ankle, whatever.
Yeah.
This is for people without a permit.
Yeah.
Of any type. So things are opening up out there. And there's been a lot. I really don't list them all. But that's one thing about a state page. When you go to about any page in handgun law or look at any of the documents, if you go to the bottom of it, it tells you the last changes that were made on that page and when I made them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that was one other thing I really liked. I started doing that about 7 years ago, and I really liked that because I was looking at other documents out there and said, well, I wish they'd tell me when they updated this thing, but they don't never mention. So I said, now I got to start doing that myself. And it really makes it handy because there was a date at the top when it was last updated.
Yeah. And, Gary, something you just said, that when you said things have opened up a lot out there, one thing I really like is when I go to your site now, when I go to the main page, the handgunlaw.us, and I see that United States map staring at me in the face, I no longer see any more states in red.
You won't.
That is awesome.
Now, there are a couple little red eyes. See, this is something people don't realize, too, is the U.S. possessions, we're talking about the Northern Mariana and Samoa and Guam,
yeah,
Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
Those residents are there. They're American citizens.
Yes, they are.
Okay. They're all American citizens. Now, Guam just went shall issue here 6 months, in the last 6 months, 7 months, somewhere in that time period.
Nice. That's nice.
Because of the court ruling in California, they decided they just did it. Now, American Samoan and Northern Marianas do not have any kind of carry. They're the only two red items on the page right now.
Yeah. Well, I don't see any complete red states. And for
No. All the states. And Illinois really amazed me when they went shall issue. I thought they would be may issue. I really thought it would be may issue.
Yeah. And for people who don't know what I'm talking about, if you've never been to Gary's site very much, a state that's in red means that the right is denied. So we have no more states anymore, at least full states anymore, that are not possessions that outright deny carrying.
Right. And then Illinois did something else that totally amazed me. If you have a permit from your home state or your state of residence.
Yeah.
You're from Texas?
Yes.
I'm from West Virginia. If you got your Texas permit and I have my West Virginia permit and we're in the car driving across to Illinois, as long as we keep that firearm inside that vehicle, we keep it right on us, loaded up. We just cannot leave the vehicle with that loaded handgun. Did you know that?
Unless I have an Illinois permit.
No, you don't need it. Your home state. You just got to have a permit from your home state That means with your Texas permit, when you're driving across Illinois, you can keep it right on your hip, but you can't leave that vehicle with an unsecured loaded firearm. If you're going to leave the vehicle, you can lock it in the vehicle, load it, leave it loaded, put it in a glove compartment and lock it, or put it in a box and lock it, or put it somewhere out of sight and lock it in the vehicle and step out of the vehicle. You're perfectly legal in the state of Illinois now.
Okay, so I'm but I'm not legal to go walking around Illinois with my Texas permit.
No. That's just in your vehicle, drive past. But before, everybody had to stop at the border, unload, lock them up, put them in the trunk or in the back of the SUV or whatever, drive across state. When it got to the other side, they could take it back out and load it up. Now you can leave it on you. You just can't get out of the vehicle with it.
Oh, okay. All right. I did not know that. Thanks for sharing that with us.
That's the kind of thing that's changing and making things a lot better for everyone. Because a lot of people probably hit Illinois and don't hit a big part of it. You know, they only might be in it for 15 or 20 miles.
Yeah.
You know, and what a pain.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, it's the good guys that only do it anyways.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, the bad guys aren't, they're not paying attention to any of these laws.
They don't pay any attention to any of these laws. So, you know, that's just the way it is. But today, the New Hampshire governor vetoed their permitless carry law.
Oh, really?
Yes, she vetoed it today. So now Maine's still on the list, but there's some arguments between the legislature and the government, not over the permitless carry bill, but over other things that the legislature is doing that the governor doesn't want. He wants other things done. They got it. So whether it's going to get signed or not, we don't. But that should happen sometime this week.
Yeah.
Should.
Well, you know, Gary, I've been saying a lot lately on my show that, you know, we are winning our rights back little by little, and things are opening up, like you said. And so the primary question that I wanted to have you talk about is national reciprocity. You let me know that there are four national reciprocity bills. I didn't know that. Before I ask you to comment on all four of those, before I do that, I want to see what you think about this. A lot of people, including me, because I was reading it off of the Second Amendment Foundation's website primarily, or some other websites, a lot of people think that they're going to take it to the Supreme Court and get the Supreme Court to make the decision on national reciprocity. What do you think?
I don't know if it will make it there or not. It's hard to say, because the court doesn't have to take the case, for one thing.
True, they don't.
You know, they don't have to take it, and they turn down a lot of cases. So whether it even get there or not would be the first thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know they're talking about the ruling that the Supreme Court put out about gay marriage being, you know, protected under the Constitution, so it applies. So, and, you know, it's kind of hard to do that in a lot of things because the court just does so many different things and everything else. Just like I bet you most people out there know, in the Roe versus Wade, where they supposedly legalized abortion, it states right in the thing, in the court's opinion, this does not legalize abortions.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, you just can't, and the law is so screwy, and the way they do things is so screwy, it's hard to really do anything, so.
Well, and it's interesting, and you know, these days it doesn't even matter what the law says anymore. What matters is...
No, I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, it matters what people can get away with. That's what it matters.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, and so you don't know how they rule anyways.
So talk about talk about the four national reciprocity bills.
Well, there's four bills out there. Let's see. There's Senate Bill 498,
mm-hmm.
986, H.R. 923, and there's another one. Where is that? Right, there it is, H.R. 402. They all say about the same thing, though. I haven't paid that much attention to the actual bills. I don't pay too much attention to bills until both the House and the Senate have passed them, especially in the state legislatures. That's where most of what I look at is anyways.
Right.
Because most of them die on the way to whatever. You know, most bills die.
Right.
So I'm kind of torn about this because I hate to see the federal government get messed up in anything, but, you know, we got National Park Area and National Wildlife Area Carry. That was attached to a credit card bill.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was attached to a credit card bill that how we got that. It wasn't just a bill by itself that we could carry there.
Yeah.
But most of the people I talk to are for it or against it. And anybody that knows anything about it is usually taking a side on it. And I would say it's probably running a majority want it from the people I talk to. Masad Ayoub, I email back and forth to him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's very up on it. He thinks it needs to be passed. And then you take a look at the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act. Everybody said, well, a lot of people said it's giving a, you know, different class of people. They're more important. But we just got to keep chipping away. You're not going to get everything at one time. That's the whole problem.
Right.
With passing laws. It's hard to get everything at one time. So you just keep chipping away. And we are. And the states are doing a great job now. I mean, it's amazing what the states. But national reciprocity, if they would pass it, I would love it.
Well, you know, a pretty prominent firearms attorney here in Texas said when he was making a comment about the open carry law that we got here in Texas, he says, you know, it's better than what we had, but it's not as good as we deserve.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of laws are that way. You know, I was kind of on your side for a while that I really didn't want the federal government to be messing around with establishing firearms law. But then I thought, wait a minute, hold on a second, Bob. You know, you're thinking with the opposite side of your brain here. The Constitution is a federal document, or at least it limits the federal government's powers, and it plainly says we have the right to keep and bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a federal issue. It is a federal issue. Would you agree?
Well, and this is what the ruling on the 14th Amendment with the gay marriage issue was, that they said it applies to the states, and all states got to honor them.
All right. Sorry about that, Gary. We had some connection issues, but I think the connection problem started when you were mentioning something like pretty much any way that we can get national reciprocity is a good way.
Well, and any time we can get things to make it better for us who carry firearms to protect ourselves and our families is good.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I started carrying a firearm to protect my family. I become an emergency medical technician to take care of my family in case something happened to them. You know, that's what it's all about, protecting your family.
Exactly. And yourself.
So, I think, and, you know, the politician likes to call it, well, you're flip-flopping on the issue now. No. You just think about it more and say, I think we just ought to take what we can get. And reading the bills, there's nothing in there. There's the only thing, and it actually, it's all four of them are written about the same. It says that if you have a permit, and they don't actually say a permit from your home state either.
Yeah.
Okay. So this would help the people from New Jersey, in New York, in California, in Massachusetts, in Maryland that can't get one. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, can they carry in their own state with one? I don't know. That'd be something the courts would have to figure out later. That would be one of those things that we'd have to get a ruling on. But it also says that if your state allows you to carry, and it doesn't say permitless carry, but it says, but if your state just allows you to have a firearm and carry it because of their laws, you can do it in that state, and you can do it with just your driver's license. So the people from Vermont are covered, too.
Yeah.
You know, Vermont's kind of left out. There's only three states that really honor Vermont. There's four now. There's Kansas, Arizona, and Alaska, and Vermont was the fourth one. But now Oklahoma has this neat little law out there now, too, that they passed last year, or was it been 2 years ago, that if your state allows you to carry without, that means you don't need a permit in your home state to carry a concealed firearm.
Yeah.
You can carry in Oklahoma on just your state-issued ID.
Wow.
So Vermont residents, Arizona residents, Alaska residents, Kansas residents, and also Wyoming residents, because Wyoming has just, they have permitless carry for just their residents. They can all carry in Oklahoma on just their state-issued ID. Now, don't get me wrong out there, everybody listening, thinks anybody can carry there just on their state-issued ID. You have to be from a state that allows permitless carry, and you have to be a resident of that state that allows permitless carry before you can carry in Oklahoma on just your state-issued ID.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Things. Who would have thought of that happening? you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't
That really surprised me.
Yeah, that surprised me too. And, you know, somebody sent me an email a couple weeks back, or maybe it was a week ago, because they heard me talking about national reciprocity. And the guy that sent me an email, I can't remember his name right now, but he brought up a good point. He says, you know, if we were to get national reciprocity, which state laws would they use?
Well, you would go by the laws of the state you are in.
Yeah, which, and then once again, we would have to permanently have handgunlaw.us saved on our web browser and permanently there, so every time we go to a different state, we can read about the laws.
Right.
Which you have to do now anyway.
Yeah, you got to do now anyways, but it doesn't matter what state you're in. You go by the laws of the state you're in. Now, one thing I did read in one of the bills, one of the four bills, was that even if you have restrictions, one of them stated, even if you have restrictions on your license, that doesn't matter in the state you're going to. So it was something worded like that. So, but again, we'll have to wait because the wording in these are all going to change anyways, more than likely, even if they do pass. So, but national reciprocity, hey, I've been to almost every state in the union except up in New England. I've been to New York State twice, once in 1970 when I was in the United States Army, and once in 97, 98, I had to go up into Glens Bay, New York, just to pick up my daughter. She was at a summer camp up there.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go to New York, and I won't go through New York. And I've let all the governors and the travel people up in all them other states up there know. I won't visit you because New York's in the way, and I won't cross New York State. I won't do it. And that's your loss, not mine. I spend a lot of time out west every time I get a chance.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They like me out there, especially Arizona. And Nevada loves West Virginia again. Oh, that was another one that changed Nevada. That was a big change because...
Yes, it was.
The Nevada state troopers, the Nevada Sheriffs and Chief of Police Association is who sat down every year and decided who Nevada was going to honor. And, I mean, they was all over the place. Well, Nevada changed the law. Now all you got to do is have training requirements, and you got to be able to have a 24-hour hotline to verify if a permit is valid or not from your state and the value on. Now, they dropped Michigan, and they dropped, what other state did they drop? I have to look here. New Mexico. They dropped Michigan and Mexico, but they picked up 10 more. They
added
10 more to the list of states they honor, or 11.
But they still haven't picked up Texas. I can't use my Texas permit there.
No. And the reason I do believe is because Texas got training. It has to be because there's not a, and I think there's a national system that you can get into that they can check permits, and I think that's the one that Nevada's looking for. And the state's got to go by their laws, just like Washington. You know, they just dropped three states. They dropped Missouri, Arkansas, and Mississippi because they started issuing to those under 21.
Yeah.
It was mainly military under 21. But West Washington law was very specific. If you issue to somebody who's less than 21, they won't honor you. That's the way their law states, and they have to go by their laws.
Yeah, okay.
And so, and most of the states are like that. Maine changes. Maine is going to be honoring a lot more states because their new reciprocity law goes into effect here the 15th of September.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. They'll honor anybody that honors them.
Okay.
So that's going to add a bunch more to Maine because I think they only list 8 on their site right now, the states they honor. But Maine is one of those states that you got to be a resident of the state they honor to carry in Maine.
Yeah,
there's a lot of great things happening. And what people don't realize is there's 18 states out there that honor everybody else's permit or allow anybody to carry without a permit. 18 of the 50 states. You know, there's two states that honor 40 plus permits from other states. 9 other states honor 30 or more. And, you know, so there's a lot of states honor a lot of other states out there. And it is kind of hit and miss. And the people in the West Coast,
you get
Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, those are the biggies. Now, the state that's honored the least is Oregon.
That's the one that's honored the least?
Honored the least. I think Oregon's only honored by 19 other states, New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, 22 other states honor their permit.
Wow.
even though they don't own it, honor it. And Oregon, I think, is because I don't know what their problem is. I think people live in Oregon who are gun people can tell you what their problem is, but.
Well, maybe I'll get some emails or voicemails from some people in Oregon pretty soon, and they can help explain it. Hey, Gary, I wanted to ask you a question. If you were going to get a non-resident license to carry, one or two, what would be the two states that you would get and why?
Oh, well, what I have in my wallet right now is a Utah and a Florida.
Yeah.
That's what I have in my wallet now, and I keep them too. Now, at one time, back in about 2000, I actually had a non-resident unlimited Massachusetts permit for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had to renew it every year, but at one time I had a Massachusetts, a Connecticut, a Maine, a New Hampshire, a Florida, an Arizona, and a Utah, and a West Virginia. I had 9 different permits, I think it was total. But I've let them all because of reciprocity changes thing. And then I mainly got the Massachusetts and the Connecticut.
Yeah.
The Maine.
Yeah.
Just to go through the process because for the website back when I was doing packing, go see how it worked, do that kind of stuff. I wanted to know how it worked. And, but I couldn't believe, and then Massachusetts now, you gotta show up in the state now to apply.
Oh, you do gotta, you have to be there, huh?
Yes, you gotta go to Massachusetts now. So, and I did it all by mail.
Well, now, why do you have the Utah and Florida? Because I had Utah and Florida. I let Florida lapse. I may renew it, but I've still got Utah.
Yeah, well, the only reason I keep both of them is I spend a lot of time at Florida. I visit my brother down there.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm almost ready to get my Pennsylvania permit back. I did have a Pennsylvania right, too. I did, that's right. I had a Pennsylvania. I let it go whenever West Virginia and Pennsylvania start honoring each other. But I spend a lot of time in Pennsylvania, too, and it's nice to have a permit from a state you spend a lot of time in. If you're going to spend a lot of time in a state, if you can afford it, you should do it. This makes things so much easier.
But didn't Florida honor your West Virginia permit?
Yes, they do. But here's the problem. Here in West Virginia, I know a lot of state troopers. I know a lot of county sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the local police. And the state troopers, they're all on the ball here in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, they know they got a list they can check. They say, oh, yeah. They say, I can't tell you what they, but I can check it real fast. Okay?
Yeah.
See if we honor your permit or not. I've had county sheriffs and local police officers tell me West Virginia doesn't honor anybody. So, you know, and that's the problem. The police officers, a lot of them just don't know.
Yeah, they don't know. Yeah.
And that's why it's nice to have a permit from the state if you're going to spend a lot of time in it. That's the reason I keep the Florida. The Utah, the problem with the Utah permit is you got to have a class in the Utah an instructor.
Right.
And that's the only problem with it. Now, it is cheaper, but the Florida permit's good for 7 years. You know, so.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Utah's it's 5, I think, if I remember right. I have to look again.
Well, when I got mine, there was a Utah instructor in Texas that wasn't living too far away from me.
Right.
And
that's how I got my Utah. I became an instructor and then applied for my permit out there. I became a Utah instructor. I gave up my Utah instructor because I had to go out there and take a 4-hour class in the state to keep my instructor's permit.
Yeah, and
instructor certificate, so I didn't do it, so I let it lapse. But yeah, and there's a lot of them around, and on the handgunlaw.us on the Utah page, there's a link to the instructors in Utah, and it's linked to all the instructors across the USA by state.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them out there. But which one, again, Florida and Utah would be picks. But I think the Florida gives you, the Utah one will give you Wisconsin or something, or Minnesota, and the Florida one, something like that. And again, you just have to look. But, and like I say, Arizona's good in Nevada again. And Nevada's a destination state.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I go west, I always fly into Las Vegas because it's the cheapest place to fly into.
Yes, that's right.
Then we just get in our car to go off from there and go everywhere. You know, we spent 3 weeks out there. We flew into Las Vegas and drove around for 3 weeks. We did that twice. We're planning on doing it again, except this time we're going north.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going east and south, we're going to go north this time. So, but yeah, Vegas is a destination. And it's a lot cheaper flight to Vegas than about any other place out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why another reason the Arizona might be good now, because they honor the Arizona. Again, see, they did honor Arizona. They dropped them, then added them on. Then I think they dropped them, then they put them back on.
Yeah, they are.
Eight years, something like that.
Yeah.
So, but again, the person would have to look and see where they're going to be, what states they want to get covered in. But the good thing about the Arizona and Florida, if you have a permit from your home state, you usually have the training required. You can do it all by mail. If you go on handgunlaw.us in the left column, it says non-resident permits. Click on that, and it'll tell you how to get any of those state permits. Again, the Utah permit, the only thing about it is you got to go take a class from a Utah certified instructor. And it can't be part of another class if I remember right.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
It has to be separate, I think. Now, they can give you a class and then put it on the end of it just for the Utah. I think they can do it that way. I'd have to check again. There are just so many different little quirks and everything. And that's the only problem with the Utah is you got to have it from a Utah certified instructor, and they have to sign your application.
Yeah. Now, you say you like to travel to the West. Don't go too far to, over to California, though, because they won't take anybody.
I'll tell you what, backstate California is beautiful, too.
I know it is.
Oh, geez, a beautiful country.
Yeah.
If those people were smart, you know, they could have a lot more visitors than they're getting now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's totally amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And so, you know, you see things opening up a little bit. What do you think is coming?
Well, everybody makes predictions about this and that, and it's really hard to say. It really is. I look for things to get better all the way around, except in the states that are May issue now. I'm
mm-hmm.
talking California. I'm talking, Massachusetts and New York. They're not going to change. If anything, I think they're going to become more restrictive. But see, this could all change in an instant. Look what happened to the Confederate flag.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
One day to the next, okay? And that can happen to anything or anybody. You know, so if something would happen, that could change everything. So it's kind of hard to say because you don't know everything that's going to happen. So, but I do see things getting better. But, you know, Chris Christie's running for governor. He's our president. He's out of New Jersey. You know, they just made it they just sped things up. Only made a 14-day wait now instead of 30-plus.
Yeah.
For somebody who's been life is threatened before they can get a gun.
Yeah, 14 days is still...
Oh, 14 days, that's plenty of time.
The only waiting period that there should be is the time that it takes you to pay with your credit card and get out of the gun store. That's the only waiting
correct.
Time that there should
correct.
Be.
That is correct. But, that made things happen. That kind of made things speed up a little bit in New Jersey. We didn't see that coming. You know, now we just had, you know, out there in San Francisco, this illegal immigrant who'd been deported 4 or 5 times just killed a really young lady for
yeah.
no reason. You know, and he said he was in there because it was a sanctuary city. Now what's going to happen? The press can really bring the pressure to bear on people and things if they want to.
Yeah, they can.
They pick and choose who they want and what they want to do. So, again, it depends on what happens. You know, crazier things have happened, and it just all depends on what happens. But, West Virginia, we finally got all these grandfathered local ordinances thrown out, which helped us immensely, and 2 or 3 other states did the same thing. You know, Nevada did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the registration in Clark County is now history. You know, they had some of the parks in Clark County were posted, the city parks, the county parks, because their law was passed before. They don't quote me on this, and I think it was 1989, because they was grandfathered, but they said they're all gone now, so... Yeah, there's a lot of better things happening. It makes it a whole lot easier. But I want to tell all your listeners out there, there's a man named Mr. Manchin from West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
I don't claim him as my senator.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, jeez. I got a nice email from him because I was complaining to him. He said, I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment and we'll stand behind you and all that. I said, what a bunch of crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
He's pandering.
What a bunch of crap.
Exactly.
And I can't believe waiting periods do nothing. Universal background checks will do nothing. Universal background checks, and even the federal government made the statement to people and said, we've got to have national registration if we want it to work. And look what's happened in Connecticut now. They got the numbers.
Yeah.
Or New York it was. New York. New York it was.
New York. It was New York, yes.
Yeah, New York. You know, they're saying 4%. I figure a lot of people got their guns out of state. I figured I would have. I didn't move mine out of state.
Oh, yeah.
But now, if you live close to the border, it's been easy to do. Mostly, especially with Pennsylvania or something. But, you know, different things. See, and this is the problem, too. We can't imagine things like Sandy Hook happening.
Yeah.
What actually happens. Good people can't even imagine that.
Well, and the recent...
Something like that would happen, but we just can't even imagine that. And, we, you know, these people do things like that in South Carolina, and everybody wants to know why, and we can't understand why, because we do not think like these people, and we can't even understand how they think. And that's who we got to protect ourselves against. And the thing of it is, I'm my first line of defense for myself and my family. And that's the way it's got to be.
Yep. Well, and I, you know, that's the thing. You know, you mentioned a little while ago, you know, you said something about, I think, national background check. Didn't you talk about that?
Yeah, universal.
Universal background checks, yes.
Yeah.
I've still yet to see any statistics out there how the universal background checks reduces crime.
They don't.
I've yet to see it.
And this is the thing, though. But again, the left, you got to remember, does everything on feelings. And this is what us conservatives can't understand either. Theirs isn't based on rational thought. It's based on feelings. And to them, doing something to even make it look better makes them feel good. So...
Yeah, you're right. That's true. They do it all based on feeling, and
all based on feelings. And
I've heard other people say that, but you know, you're right. That's true.
But and there's no use trying to even debate these people because you're not going to change their mind, and they're not going to change your mind. Now there might be some fence sitters out there, but there's not a lot of fence sitters out there today on this issue. Younger people maybe, but even they're hearing about it, and the way the news is slanting it. They're not hearing the good part about it. They only hear the bad part about it.
You can change some minds, but you're right, not that many.
Not that many.
And I think what...
And that's something else about handgunlaw.us. It's very non-political. I made it that way. There's enough sites out there talking about the laws and left and right and everything and no guns and guns. And I just wanted to have a site to supply information.
And it does a great job of it.
They might be doing something that might be a little bit illegal, but that's the way I'm hearing they're doing it, so watch out, be careful. You know, and
yeah.
That's it.
It does a good job of that, too. Your information is unbelievable, and I know that you're busy now in early July updating things, and I suppose you're probably going to get busier again towards the end of the year, right?
Yeah, well, there's my next update here is, I think it's the 15th of July. I got to look. I got it all in a folder. Got them all mapped out. When I got to put them all in there, and I keep a little checking. And about a week before is when I get everything situated. Because I try to update the site every week. Sometimes things happen though, and it comes sooner. Like Nevada changing who they honored.
Mm-hmm.
I hurried up and got that on there because they dropped. If they hadn't dropped the states, it wouldn't have been so fast to get on there. But they dropped Michigan, and they dropped. New Mexico. And now I'm an NRA instructor, been a member of the NRA for years.
Good.
I'm a member of the GOA, but there's a lot of other people out there that are supplying information, especially about who honors who, and make sure you don't rely on insight, and do not rely on handgunlaw.us. That's why I got links in the right-hand column on every state page. Well, you can go to that state and check their listing from their state, from their website, for Nevada, for whoever. check them out. Make sure it's right, because not everybody is up to date. They're pretty good at adding a state when somebody starts to honor somebody, but they're not very good at whenever a state drops a state, of changing them.
Right. Yeah, you're right. People shouldn't completely rely on handgunlaw.us, but you are incredibly accurate.
And that's, again, that's why I try to keep all the links there, is so people can confirm the information themselves. And you should. You know, I live in West Virginia. I got some college education. I'm 60, going to be 65 years old here pretty soon. But who am I to tell you what's legal and not legal? I'm putting the information out there, giving you places to go and show you where you can find it for yourself. And it's the most reliable you can get, not mine, but theirs out there on their websites. And like I say, the states are doing a great job of putting a lot of information out there now.
Yeah, so, they are.
And I'm the only site that really does that. It gives you the links to all the places so you can go check for yourself. You know, most other people just say, you can do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can do this, you can't do this. And you're relying on them 100%.
Yeah, no, and don't do that. And that is one of the things I like about your site, is that you've got those links. You provide. You don't just tell people, well, go look it up, but you tell them how to look it up, which is good.
And then I quote a lot of the laws and give them the reference number for the law, the statute links there. They can go look it up themselves. They know exactly where to look in the statutes. And it's not hard. Some of the states kind of hard. There's a couple of states hard, but most of the states are very easy to get with. A lot of them, you know, they link. You can click on the link, and it takes you straight to the law and their statutes. Now, some of them, there's a dozen states or so that use Nexus Lexus free, that you can't link to anything inside there. You got to go through it and hunt and peck and look for the number. But, yeah, you can do it. But, yes, do confirm your information, people. That's the most important. It's you that's going to pay the price.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the one that's going to pay the price. And that's the big problem right there, is you're the one that's going to pay it. Not me. You.
Yeah, you can't tell the police officer of the court, well, handgunlaw.us told me I could.
Yeah, that'll get you, I'll figure $1.98 in that. You probably get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Well, Gary, thanks for coming on again. I wanted to bring you on, and I really wanted to get your thoughts on the national reciprocity issue, and you answered it, and thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot.
Is there one other thing I can mention?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, now, what happened was, you know, after the terrorist attacks and things in the country started heating up, you know, and we had Fort Hood and we had Washington shooting and everything, people started asking me a lot of questions about long guns in vehicles, carrying a long gun in a vehicle.
Good idea.
So, I know a lot of police officers have told me, you know, they use their handgun to fight to their rifle in the trunk, you know. I put together a document, and there's a link to it in the left column on the main page. It's the long gun laws. Without a permit to carry or anything, unless it's both stated, but to transport, to keep one in your vehicle. Now, the problem there is, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of vehicles get broke into.
Yes.
You've got to take that into consideration, too. You know, and now somebody has a firearm. But I've got that document up there. I'm always looking for feedback. It took me about 7 months to put it all together. Just checking things out. I don't know if it's 100% yet or not. I'm still looking for feedback on it. If any of your listeners got any feedback, all you got to do is click on Contact Us at the bottom of the main page at handgunlaw.us, and I see every one of them emails, and I do answer every one of them.
Yeah.
And thank you again, Bob. Appreciate you.
Well, no, yeah, I appreciate you, Gary. And you know what? Matter of fact, I like your site and what you do and everything and your work so much. Let's go ahead and put out a call. How can people, if they want to support you and the work that you and your partner are doing, how can they do that?
We do take donations now, but that's not the big thing. The big thing is look at your state page. Check it out.
Okay.
Make sure everything is on it correct. If there's any errors on it, let me know. But also, if you've checked it out, and I'm not talking to say, okay, it looks good, but actually read through it and check everything, and it all is okay, let me know it's okay, too.
Yeah, I'm going to check mine.
That tells me just as much as you tell me if there's a problem. Okay? Now, will I fix everything? I can't put every bit of information about the gun laws in every state on every state page. It'd be a zillion pages long.
No.
You know, so I can't answer every question, either. It's impossible to do that. If they did that, you wouldn't even have to have a podcast because there wouldn't be any questions left to answer.
That's right.
Okay, but that's how they could really help me.
Yeah, and down at the near the bottom of your page is a contact us, and that's how they can get a hold of you. And just in case somebody does want to donate to your cause, how do they do that?
Right there on the page it says if you want to keep Handgun Law online, there's a link you can click.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
PayPal.
Okay.
I think Steve even has his address there, so if you want to write a check and send it. It is not tax deductible.
Yeah,
we're not a nonprofit org, and the cost of the site has went up. Our bandwidth went up. Our hits have went way up immensely.
Sure, I'm sure they have.
So, and for having a site that doesn't have even have a chat form on it, we get a lot of hits.
Yeah, well, and you know, you deserve it. You deserve it, and yeah, it's not tax deductible, but you know what? A lot of people support me too, and I'm shocked by the generosity of the firearms public. They're just fantastic people.
I hope maybe Mike Dolly will be listening because he sent us a nice donation, and that's the man I started with 20 years ago, and thank you, Mike.
Mike, thanks for helping Gary out. I think that's great. I don't know Mike, but I'm going to thank him anyway.
All right.
Well, Gary, thanks for coming on again. I appreciate your time, and keep doing what you're doing.
Anytime. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care.
And everybody stay safe out there.
Stay safe. I like that.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Thanks, Gary.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, many thanks to Gary. Support his efforts at his website. Go over there, and at the top of the page at handgunlaw.us, there's a way you can donate to help keep his website and his efforts alive. He's doing fantastic work. So, Gary, once again, thank you very much for your time. Okay, folks, I'd like some comments. You can email me, bob@handgunworld.com. Check out the Handgun World Podcast Facebook page. I am Handgun World on Twitter. There's all kinds of ways. You can go straight to the website, handgunworld.com, and leave a comment on this episode. If I made a mistake, let me know. If you want to call in the voicemail, I got a voicemail system, 210-646-1727. So send me a voicemail. I'll put you on the show. 210-646-1727. And as a matter of fact, next week I've got a couple of good listener voicemails for you that I want you to listen to, and I'm going to comment on them. I'm saving them for right now because I want to put them on the show next week and address them all at the same time. But I'd like to hear from you. And don't forget about my Amazon store. If you want to support the Handgun World Podcast, make your Amazon purchases through my Amazon store. It can be found at handgunworld.com. And I get a little fee every time you make a purchase on there. When you want to make a repeat purchase, go back to that same page, save it, bookmark it, do whatever. Don't forget about the classes that Ben and I are teaching coming up in Ohio. In the Seattle Squim area with Glenn Tate, in San Antonio with Chaz Murray of the Handgun World, Chaz Murray of the Road Gunner podcast, joining Ben and I, and he's bringing Tracy Thronberg, a lady who's a tremendous trainer, a Mag 40 instructor, coming down. And the four of us are going to teach that class in November. So let me remind you about that. All of this can be found at handgunworld.com. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye. In Lebanon, in Palestine.